When I teach international expansion in business schools or consult clients, I always stress the importance of rigorous preparation and a systematic approach to selling goods or services abroad. That there is no magic wand to guarantee your international sales success. However, as with any rule, there are exceptions. In the second part of my interview with the courageous Ukrainian candy producer Lol & Pop, its founder and CEO Olena Tokar shares a rather magical story of how they began selling in Japan. She reveals how their prior investments in product quality finally paid off, how many tests are necessary to enter the Japanese market, and how crucial flexibility and speed are for the successful international expansion. If you missed the first part of our interview where Olena shares her inspiring story of building an international business, you can find it on the Start Global Insights podcast that you can listen on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, or other podcast platforms.
1, 2, 3, 4!
Hi, I'm Dmytro Shvets, your host at the Start Global Insights, where I interview experts from different countries about local business secrets and international expansion experience. And now for the miracle.
And in terms of the miracle, we took part in the ISM exhibition in early February 2024. For us, it was...
What country?
In Germany. Mm-hmm. It was in Cologne. So for us, it was first time being like exhibitors there. Before that, I visited this exhibition from 2017, and it was one of my dreams to be an exhibitor there, because it's the biggest trade fair for sweets. For me, it was like, wow, I'm here standing with my small business, like presenting my products. I was so happy at that moment. And during the trade fair, we had a lot of different contacts. And I assumed that maybe we would have a distributor from Germany, because it was in Germany. And we went to some clients that were like interested. But there
on,
were
on the show, yes, yeah? so on their
yeah,
stands.
During the trade show. Also, there were people from Australia, Japan, Czech Republic. So visitors almost from all the world.
And did you agree on any meetings before the exhibition, or it was just?
Yes, we worked. It was a special program of import promotional desk from German side, and we worked with special consultants, and they made this B2B match. They prepared this B2B match for us, but still, we had clients just jumping to
Occasionally, yes, occasionally. Just passing by.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, passing by and decided just to visit the booth. We had one of the clients from Japan. So we had a conversation, I made a presentation, but for me it was like, okay, Ukrainian lollipops, yeah, they're unique.
Was it a distributor, or what was the type of the client?
He was a distributor, and at that moment he told me, I'm a distributor for luxury products. So I'm looking for really very high quality, unique products, and we sell them across the country. Mm-hmm. But to be honest, we had this lists of clients. And you make this priority. You put this priority high, medium, or like not really very important client. I, from what I remember, I made him like medium. Because of course, not high priority, like medium, okay. But because I thought Japan is really very far from Ukraine. We have war here. In Japan, you have like almost everything. You are a country that lives in future. How always people think about Japan, because it's true. Japan, literally, they have a lot of things that when you're in this country, you think that you're in future. For me, it was my dream to go to Japan. And before the pandemic, I had tickets for May 2022 that like to Tokyo. But we know what happened, like not to 2022, but 2020. before the pandemic. And then pandemic happened and no Japan for me. And after the trade show in a week, I got an email from this partner and he asked about the price list, the presentation, the terms of cooperation, delivery, etc. But I was so busy with like all these things after the trade show, and I didn't respond at that point.
So until now, you made all the mistakes that I think and I tell my students and my clients not to make, but you made it, and still you succeeded. Okay.
I made it. So I, at the beginning, I told you that I'm not a good example. So I'm an example of breaking rules.
Okay.
Well, but he was patient enough. Like, and in a few days, he wrote me again and asked me, well, maybe you will send me like your catalog and your price list because we are really very interested in your products. And I was like, okay, sure.
Did he try the quality at the trade show? And did he take with him some samples? Yeah, so he knew the quality of the product.
Yeah, I gave him samples. So I gathered the samples. I gave him samples of the lollipops, jellies, marshmallows. So all the range that we had, he got all the samples. And, you know, during the trade show, you have clients and they're all very interested. So they take samples and they tell you, oh, your product is so unique, it's so good, it's so great. But you know the truth. Like maybe if you're a very young entrepreneur, you believe that it's all true that they're like telling you at this moment. But for me, it was like, okay, yeah, of course.
That might be true that they really believe and think that this is interesting, but the word interesting is so...
No, here is the difference between different countries, between different mindsets. When you work with clients from Israel, they never tell you, they never lie. They tell you directly what they need, what they want. And if you accept these terms, we work. If not, no. So, and it's so cool that you don't lose like your time. They know that time is money. It's the first thing that you're going to hear. And I like them a lot that they're so direct and they always tell you what they want and what they need. What we have with European clients. You have a long period of going back and forth, sending emails. How amazing is your product? How amazing is all the samples that you have sent? But can you change this and maybe this and maybe this? And then we just need to taste it once again. And we are thinking about this. And at the end of the day, what do you have? Like in a lot of cases, when you have such a client, at the end of the day, you have nothing. When you work with American clients, they're very direct. They're very friendly as well. They're really very friendly as well. But they're more direct than European clients. So they will tell you, okay, it's great, but... And after this but, you just need to understand whether you commit with all the things that they highlighted. Or you can't meet it. And if not, then you can tell, okay, I need some more time just to adapt the product or like to make some adjustment to my production. And then I will come back. And they're happy like to talk with you further.
So different approach from different countries and clients.
Yeah, it's all cultural like
differences.
Differences that we have. Yeah. It's all cultural differences. But when you know them, it's for you, it's easier.
Let's come back to Japan. So they contacted you again and then
they contacted me again and then I answered and they told me, okay, can you send samples? More samples? We need more samples. And for me, it was like, yeah, of course we can send samples and we send samples. I wouldn't say that we send samples very quick. It was not a sub. It was like maybe in 2 weeks and 2 weeks for the delivery. So it was a month. Yeah, it was a month. They received samples and we negotiated price a little bit. For me, it was acceptable, like what they offered. So after that, they asked more samples because they choose the products that they want to distribute. It was only lollipops that they choose. We had a product Rattle Lollipops, and they're really very interesting. And during the trade show, I saw that it was like really a high interest in this type of product.
Yeah, I saw this pictures of that. It looks amazing. So it is like a hollow lollipop, yeah, with some stuff, edible stuff. Yeah, yeah, sprinkles inside.
It's edible sprinkles inside.
So it rattles like a rattle.
And it moves. Edible sprinkles inside moves. So, and it makes this like rattle, and we call it maracas because the sound is really great.
So you turn the candy into experience.
Yeah, it's more of an experience that you have. You not only eat the candy, but you have this experience. So they choose this target product for the market, ask more samples. We send more samples, and then we got an offer from them. So we signed the contract, and after that, the most interesting part started.
Just to make sure I understand correct. So this was a distributor that wanted to distribute it where in Japan? They had. Did they tell you the stores, or it was just they are buying from you to their warehouse?
Yeah, they're buying from me to their warehouse. So I had no idea, like how many stores, what stores. No, so they worked with me like a distributor.
And was it like a long term contract or one time?
We signed it like long term. But what we have now, it was for one delivery. But in terms of the contract, it's for like the period of time longer than the first delivery.
Okay.
So we got the order. And the most interesting part started because we had an issue with the sprinkles. After the place the order, we sent our samples to their lab in Japan. So all the certificates that you have for Japan, it's not going to work.
Even though you had the certificates for United States, yes, you had the FDA approval. And
yeah, we have FDA approval. We have FSSC 22000. We had all the tests from Ukrainian laboratories, but it doesn't work. It doesn't work because they need their own tests.
Okay.
So we sent more samples to the lab, and we had an issue with the sprinkles because some of the sprinkles had coloring that are not accepted in Japan. So we needed to find another producer of the sprinkles because we don't produce sprinkles ourselves, and it took us almost 2 weeks to find another sprinkles. But with Japan, it works like this. You found another supplier. You make samples, you send them to Japan. And we send samples to the lab, I think, 4 or 5 times, like for the whole process of cooperation. And just to those people who listen, we send samples like for, it was our cost. So we send samples and pay for the delivery. And we negotiated that they pay for the lab tests. And we pay for the samples and for the delivery. For me, it's okay. So I knew why.
It's kind of a mutual investment in future.
And for them, it was important as well. Because I made this offer and he told me, wow, thanks a lot. It's like for us, it's really very important. And we are really glad that we can spend more money on lab testing. So when the candy are in country, we want to spend a lot of time doing all these tests. So they made this test before arrival. And it was really very important for them to save the time after. And then we started to have in Ukraine outages. So instead of 8 weeks, we made the order like 10 weeks. But still, they were really very empathetic. And they understood that, okay, thanks a lot. We understand everything. And yeah, we are okay with this.
Yeah, but in any case, to find another supplier within 2 weeks, and despite the missiles and blackouts being late only 2 weeks with the production, I think this is also a miracle. So you were really lucky and quick.
Yeah, like for him, it was he was so surprised every time. For example, he wrote me, "Okay, the sprinkles doesn't work. We need to change the sprinkles." Like in 3 days, I have several options sending him sprinkles, like the design of the sprinkles, because the design was also really very important, how you have it. So it should be similar from what they have approved from the final customer. Mm-hmm. And it was like this. And he told me, "Oh my God, so quick, so quick, so quick. I'm surprised, so quick." And when I told him, "Okay, we are ready with the samples. We are sending the samples." I know that the delivery from Kyiv to Tokyo, Ukrposhta makes like in 12 days, which is amazing as well. And he was surprised as well. So, oh my God, it's so quick. So in terms of cooperation, we tried to do our best.
Mm-hmm.
So we were quick, we were adaptable, we were like friendly, negotiable. And for us, it was important to have a good attitude. Because, you know, when you work with someone, this person will judge you, like the whole country.
Yeah.
How to cooperate, for example, when you ask this guy, "How was the cooperation with the Ukrainian company?" He told, mm-hmm. "It was okay." So the other guy, if he thinks about cooperation with the Ukrainian company, he most probably will make it, because
mm-hmm.
You have some kind of a positive experience.
Yeah, yeah. So you are building trust not only for the long-term cooperation with this distributor, yeah, but also for those who will see your products on the shelves, and also for those who will hear from him about the image of the company he worked with, but also it applies to the image of the whole country. Yeah, so the association would be like that.
Yeah, it's really very important to understand about this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great.
And also what I want to highlight that we are part of Ukrainian Manufacturers Alliance, so it helps us a lot as well. So all this grants, all this subsidizing the buses and all this, it really helps us to promote our company without spending a lot of budget. Because when there are a lot of companies and you cooperate,
mm-hmm.
You just divide split. All the cost. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can just split all the costs that you have, and it helps you a lot. So to those who listen, please, don't
unite.
Be afraid. Yeah, unite, really. Unite, because you're achieving goals faster.
Yeah, yeah. And you are sharing the mistakes also. So you have a better like learning experience together.
Definitely.
What was the final of the Japanese journey? What is it now? How many stores? And now you know the names of the stores you are sold in.
Yes, now I know. It's Village Vanguard. It's 350 stores across Japan.
350 stores.
Yeah,
okay.
It's 350 stores. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's also a miracle. Because like 350 stores, it's a lot. For
it's a lot,
such companies that we have, because we are like a small-sized company. We are not a huge producer.
Mm.
We are a small producer, but 350 stores, like it's a lot. They're now considering second order, but mm-hmm. we don't like have it still.
Mm-hmm.
But we are in like in the middle of negotiation process.
Mm. Good. What's next? What are your plans for the other part of the world?
Well, in April, we will have trade mission to Germany again.
Mm-hmm. Coming back. Back to Germany.
Yes, back to Germany. We'll see. We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I took part in Berkeley Food Accelerator from Berkeley University and Food Nation.
Mm-hmm.
And we had experience of pitching our products there. Mm-hmm. It was 2 weeks ago. And I hope that we will have new partners in the United States.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because we are looking for new partners at the moment, and also Canada.
Great, great. That's amazing. Amazing story and amazing will to be international, yeah, and to have this results. Maybe you have some advices for exporters that are just starting their journey, because we're now facing, with our conversation, yeah, we have now the collision of my approach of consistent and step-by-step analytical approach to going abroad and your a bit chaotical, yeah, and, but still very successful, yeah. And it is okay, yeah. So I totally agree that it may happen like that, yeah. So it is more like depends on the person and on the company, yeah. Because when even if I advise to choose the markets, and what I hear from trade promotion offices from around the world, from other educational facilities and consultants, they advise mostly the external part. Yeah, so you need to analyze the markets, the data, and understand where is the potential. But they forget, and I do talk about that, the internal part. Yeah, so the criteria of choosing the markets should consist from external part, this analytical stuff, and also the resources and wishes and intuition and possibilities of the company that is going to this market. If they have it, then they can choose the right, correct markets according to this internal resources and possibilities. Because if they just will rely on data, then I can say without any analysis that China, United States, and Germany are the three top markets in the world where for sure you will find clients if you will invest huge amounts of energy or your personal time or the money. Yeah, so that that may happen. So taking all that into account, maybe you have kind of top three advisors for the beginners in going internationally.
Well, you said that chaotic but consistent.
Consistency is the key one. Yeah, so that's what I'm talking about all the time as well. Yes, so consistency and persistence.
Yes, and the second one is resilience, because you will probably hear a lot of things that will be like this. You are not fit for this market. We have plenty of products here. Oh, well, our market is so demanding, or, you know, our economical situation is not as good as it was 5, 6, 7, 10 years ago. You know how hard our market is. So, like,
So many competitors.
Why to choose your product and all this stuff. You will hear it, but stay resilient. If you're confident with your product and you believe that your product is market fit, you just need to stay resilient and don't change your values. So no, if your main value is quality, so keep this quality. And I think that you can always try small. Like during our classes at Berkeley, we had this design thinking session, and you can actually build your MVP in 5 days. During the classes, we built our MVPs in 3 hours. Mm-hmm. It's possible. Mm-hmm. So if you want just to try how it's going to be, try it with the website and try to make a delivery like from Ukraine. Don't invest money in the warehouse fulfillment, like everything. Just make a test. It's really very cheap and easy to make a test sitting here in Ukraine with all the tools that are available now from Google, from Nova Pochta, from Etsy, from other platforms. Just try it without any fear.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, now it is amazing how many opportunities we have, and not only from Ukraine, especially from Europe, for those exporters from Europe. Yeah, so they have a lot of internal help and assistance from their trade promotion offices. And that's amazing how many information we have now openly in the web, because we have started a consulting company in 2008. And at that time, there was no information available in the internet. So to analyze the market, you needed to have a local partner there and or to go there or to get information, whatever you wanted. And now it is at the fingertips. So you can just, in 5 minutes, you can make analysis of macroeconomic data and already make your decisions consistent and persistent based on data.
And one more advice, if you have chance to go to the country where you want to export, just visit that country and just spend some time in different stores and just make some observation. What people buy, how they decide what to take from the shelf. Is it some brands that they're like going and taking these brands all the time? Or are they looking at the shelf? You can take your product with you and just like put it on the shelf and make a photo of this product and just take a look how is your product is on the shelf. For me, this was very important during my Berkeley trip, mm-hmm. as I took my products and my pitch should be about like functional jellies. This was my target product that mm-hmm. I went to Berkeley with, but I changed this product like in 2 days after observations and after just taking a look how this product looks on the shelf with the other functional jellies that are already on the market.
Mm-hmm.
So I changed all my pitch presentation, target product, and it was a good decision. It was a mm-hmm. really good decision.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have this opportunity, just go and
take it.
Make some observations.
Mm-hmm. Great.
You can even ask people.
And make some customer discovery interviews.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Very quick one.
We have one episode and also like a case study for about Ukrainian heating innovation heating products, and they also told how they traveled to a potential client in other country, but meanwhile when they were crossing other countries, they just were stopping and going to specialized stores. And they managed to find another clients just passing by these stores, just from the scratch, just going there, asking the salespeople, could they introduce them to the director or the owner, and that made them quite a lot of new sales, yeah, in this direction. Good. It was amazing conversation, Olena, and I would talk even more, and we're already out of time twice, so I don't know how I will cut this episode to pieces, because everything is very valuable, and probably I will think about splitting that interview in two halves. But in any case, it was really interesting, and I hope that I will see your company name in many, many more markets in the future.
Thanks a lot.